Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I am an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast episode is number 150, and I'm recording this on July 5th, 2008. So a little bit of a historic podcast, episode 150. Actually, in 2 days, I'll be recording about the third anniversary of the Speaking of History podcast. Hard to believe that 3 years have gone by. But today I'd like to talk a little bit about the recent trip to the NECC conference, or NEC, that was down in San Antonio, Texas. And a lot of people on the blogosphere and podcasters are talking about their experiences, what they thought was important, what they came away with from the conference. And today I'd kind of like to theme my discussion or my reflection around the central question that I had going into NEC this year, and that was the value of NEC itself. Obviously, travel is getting very expensive with the cost of gas. School districts are tightening up their budget a little bit. And, you know, today in the time period of having all the Ustream and the podcast, for example, I know I've listened to several different presentations over the last several months on Ustream. There were a couple of times this last school year where somebody on Twitter said, hey, somebody's presenting at a conference and it was live on Ustream, and I may have watched part of it during my plan period, or I watched it after school. So is NEC really that important? Is it really important that we physically have 11,000 educators attend a conference in one place? And is the cost of all the hotel and the travel and all that kind of stuff, is that actually worth the experience? I will say that my particular district sent 5 total people to NEC this year, and we had a fairly diverse group. We had 2 classroom teachers, myself, an 8th grade teacher, and 1 high school teacher. We also had our technology integrationist for the high school, 1 media specialist, and then 1 tech our 1 tech director for the district. So we had a pretty different group. And I think that a lot of what you get out of NEC really depends on who you go to NEC with. I've gone to a lot of conferences recently just by myself, but it's a really different experience when you go to a technology conference like NEC with people from your own district. These are people that I talk to throughout the school year, maybe at technology meetings, and we have a group called Tech Mentors, and these people are all involved with the Tech Mentors group, so we meet a couple times during the year, and then on kind of a regular basis to talk about technology education issues. But for the most part, we don't get a chance to sit down and talk about the things that are affecting our district, or things that we're doing in our own classrooms, or things that we're seeing other teachers do. And so, you know, one of the things that I found this year that really came out as I was thinking about the theme of is NEC valuable, is that I was able to have discussions with people from my own district that I would not have had at home. And I think that's really important. I can remember one lunch that we had where we had an amazing discussion about the use of Second Life in education. We talked about Creative Commons and what that means to our district and our individual students. The teachers that we have in our district, are they aware of Creative Commons? What can we do to help them be more aware of Creative Commons? We talked about the value of Wikipedia and had a very spirited debate about that. We talked about the use of Twitter. We talked about Google Apps. I mean, just that one discussion alone, I walked away with a ton of perspective from people that teach in my district, but we probably would not have had that conversation anywhere within the regular school year. So in particular, that one conversation, and we had several conversations like that throughout the 3 or 4 days that we were together, but just kind of being away and just having no other focus other than talking about educational technology. And we talked about other things too, and we had a great time down in San Antonio, but the value of those discussions was really important to me. So that kind of leads to the next part, or my next thought here. You know, is the advantage of having 11,000 people that have kind of one like-minded goal, that is educational technology, is having them physically in one place of value? And one thing that I got from the people in our district, and I think that I really get a sense from a lot of other people that attended, is just the sense of energy that happens when you go home from a conference like NEC, and you want to try these things in your classroom, you want to talk to your peers about something new that you saw. It's kind of like, in some ways, I think that we're kind of like pioneers in some way in our districts, maybe using a particular tool or maybe using educational technology. And we see other people that we can kind of bounce some ideas off of, and then it energizes us to go back to our district and then try and implement some new things with our own faculty and with our own peers. So I think that that has value as well. There were some great new things that I saw as well. You know, sometimes I've heard comments that NEC really isn't cutting edge. Well, you know, we've got 11,000 people attending NEC. There's no way that everybody can be cutting edge. Otherwise, there's really no value in the mass conference. So, for example, someone was talking about how the session on the very basics of Audacity was completely packed this year. And some people may look at that and say, well, what a waste that somebody goes to NEC and, you know, they're learning how to use Audacity, which, you know, many people are already currently using. But NEC is so large, it does give that experience, whether you're right on the cutting edge or whether you're just beginning to become involved in educational technology. And I think that the sheer size does give it some importance because you can find things that should fit your level. I mean, there were very cutting edge discussions about some different pedagogy and things like that that I think were very important, especially from this particular NEC. The exhibit floor at NEC. You know, sometimes I think that the exhibit floor is looked down upon by some in the educational technology, edublogging and podcasting community. But it does have, it is a great opportunity to see things that maybe you've heard about, but you haven't had the chance to actually see. And a lot of people that come to NEC come from small communities. I grew up in a small town in Nebraska. You know, there's not an Apple store in our town. There's not a place for us to go and see the latest Microsoft software and things like that. You know, we need these opportunities for some teachers to be able to see what's available. And I know some people have called it just, you know, like a big boat show and stuff. But I was able to talk to people in several booths that either we use their product already or I was able to physically see some things that we might use in our classroom. And I'm not talking just about smart boards and Promethean boards and stuff like that. I talked to the people that run Kia. That's the online assessment tool that I've used for about 7 or 8 years now. And just had one or two, you know, comments and suggestions about some things that they could do on the website. And in the years past, they've been extremely helpful and reactive to anything that I've suggested as something that might improve their service to teachers. So, for example, just being able to drop by and talk to them a little bit, that was, you know, something that will probably help me out and help them out as well. I was able to talk to the people that have the Avery document cameras. We're doing some things in our district. We want to try and increase the use of them and find some different ways that people in different subject areas can use them. And I was able to have a casual conversation with them. The History Channel booth, talk to them about some of their resources that are coming up. Library of Congress had a great display, as they do at most conferences, and, you know, is talking about a lot of the digital projects they're using for primary resources to get into the hands of teachers. So, you know, even though the exhibit floor does have a lot of stuff that may not specifically interest an individual teacher, there are a lot of things there that do have an impact in the classroom, and you don't have to buy a smart board. You don't have to buy something that costs $20,000, but it allows you to have the opportunity to see a lot of different things. The one-to-one conversations that don't typically happen, you know, even if you do have a conversation online or on Twitter, it might not be the same. So to kind of give you an example of what I'm talking about, Kyle Stevens is a teacher down in Texas, and I've met Kyle at a conference or two, and we follow each other on Twitter, we read each other's blog, and, you know, we've had some email discussions and stuff, but we talked about, you know, getting together and actually meeting for lunch or doing something at NEC this year. And he did attend one of the presentations I did. He stopped by and watched me talk a little bit about how we're using Zunes in the classroom. And then afterwards, we went out and had lunch. And, you know, I had probably, I don't know, 45-minute to an hour discussion about all kinds of things. I'm doing a lot of things with Zunes in my classroom because we're running a Zune pilot with the MP3 players. They have a one-to-one iPod program in their school. And so we talked about how we're using every three players with our students and the actual nuts and bolts of, you know, how we're doing that, how we're transferring different files and, you know, what the advantages of each platform are and things like that. We talked about some of the educational tech issues that have come up at NEC. But we also talked about hoops. Kyle's a big KU basketball fan, and I was a basketball coach for about 15 years. So, I mean, we talked about basketball, we talked about school, we talked about all different kinds of things. And, you know, that was a 45-minute discussion that took place at a Chili's, you know, a block away from the convention center. So, you know, could Kyle and I have had that same conversation on Skype? Well, technically, I mean, the content might have been the same, but it's not exactly the same when you're using Skype or using video Skype as sitting across from somebody, you know, just talking and eating and just kind of enjoying the conversation. So, you know, Kyle and I will probably have a discussion on Skype at some point in the next couple months, but it's not going to be quite the same as sitting down and talking individually in person. But then also, because we did meet in person and kind of had a nice discussion, it'll probably, you know, lead us to a greater conversation in the future. So anyway, it's kind of a long way around that. But I do think that NEC is a very unique experience. I think that people do come out of it energized. I think there's enough there for people on almost any level. I think that, you know, for the people that attended from my district, I think that we came up with some great ideas on how we can incorporate some of these into our individual district. So I was able to attend a conference or attend a session, and then go ahead and we, you know, got together, and, you know, later in the evening we're talking about stuff. And some of those things are definitely going to gain roots in our district and then grow from there. And I've seen that happen at several different conferences where we've had a variety of people from different buildings and different positions attend the same conference. So I think overall, I really went into NEC thinking that maybe it wasn't worth all the money and travel and things like that. And it is an expensive trip to take. But, you know, I think that I came away with a little bit more of a feeling that, yes, NEC does have quite a bit of value, and I'll have to make that decision next year. I don't know if my district will take a bunch of people next year or not. Our district's kind of a little bit in a situation where we're kind of trying to tighten our belts a little bit budget-wise. But next year, NEC is in Washington, D.C., obviously an awesome place as a history teacher to attend a conference. I did attend a national conference there back in December of 2006. It was the National Council for Social Studies Conference, and a beautiful facility. Obviously, you know, tons of things to do in Washington and a great place to be. So I'm going to try and put in some proposals and see what happens, and, you know, be talking to my district and see if we are sending some people. But I did come up with quite a bit of a renewed sense that NEC does have some value, and came up with some great ideas. I do plan on talking about some of those things that kind of made me open my eyes, or maybe a product here or there, or somebody that, you know, something that somebody said. And I do want to do a session on that later this week, kind of a what did I find the most interesting at NEC podcast. But I'm going to save that for a later time. I'm also going to do a podcast about some of the individual sessions that I did at NEC on the elections game and the Microsoft Zoom. I'm going to try and get some of the audio from those, see if they came out, and then post those on the blog as well. So if you have any comments about NEC or about this podcast, you can leave a post directly on the blog, and that's at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, or you can email me directly at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye. The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.